just say I do. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. We are here live from Vegas for the NACE conference, and I was told that I had to be specifically something what? NACE Experience 2021. So we've been having multiple days of listening to some of the world's best event pros talking about what is going on in the world of events. And I have to say, we've seen a lot actually over the last 4 days about like what the world really is like in the event world. And let me just say, first of all, the fact that us three are together, like
first time in a year and a half. As well. I mean, we've seen each other, but
yeah, but you know what I mean?
Doing this show.
Probably the first time.
This is like the first time that we've actually been in the same room at the same time and not doing the kind of Zoom thingy that goes on. Right.
Absolutely.
So anyway, guys, if you're watching us right now, so we are, again, literally coming live from Las Vegas, from the NACE conference, National Association of Catering and Events conference. And we're going to have a couple of surprises and a couple of surprise guests throughout the day. But the first question that I want to ask you is, like, what was your favorite thing so far about Las Vegas? What is it? Ha! Pause. She's like, I don't know. No. Car rides.
Ask me later. I'm still trying to keep my checking account out of the negative.
Right? So. Oh my God. And what about you? What's been your favorite part?
I think just the magnitude of art and fashion and style that you get to see from so many different influences that you see and what we can take back.
Right.
I think that's probably the most amazing part for me.
Well, you know what I find? And by the way, we are filming from the NACE Foundation Lounge. So you're going to be listening to some conversations going on in the background because we do have a live audience today that is watching us film this today. You know what? I feel like my favorite part of Las Vegas is the people. I mean, I don't think I've been anywhere where we've had this number of people around us at one point. Like, I mean, going down the city streets, last night we went to Fremont Street. Yes, and amazing. And guys, I have to tell you, Fremont Street did not feel like anything was different. It was exactly the same, like, on any other time. So if you're going to come to Las Vegas, just know that you're going to have a good time. You're going to lose a lot of money, but you're going to have a really good time, right? You're going to have a really good time.
Definitely
so,
go through the O show, the water show.
So who's our first guest?
Our first guest today is going to be Philip Wolf.
Philip, come on and join us. Come over here, Philip.
Philip is with Cultivating Spirits, and he's going to talk a little bit about the Cannabis Expo that's going to be coming up.
I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, when you talk about the wedding industry and then you talk about cannabis in general. All right. I want to go to that.
Yes, yeah. Well, August 29th in Vegas.
Right.
And October 10th in Denver and November 7th in Boston. So you should, I know someone can get you some free tickets.
Oh my God, please. We are totally there. But honestly, if you're talking about Vegas, there's no such thing as free tickets because God bless. But there's always a trick. But I want to repeat those dates because that is August 29th here in Vegas. November 7th is Boston. And then October 10th is Denver, right?
Correct.
So tell us about this conference. At Cannabis Wedding Expo comes up. When I think Cannabis Wedding Expo, there is a lot of imagery that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Good. I'm glad. Your curiosity's perked.
Right. But does that, but seriously, does that, is it really sparking all the right imagery?
Well, you know, I think one thing about cannabis is that it fits all walks of life.
Yeah.
And so it's really unlimited into how you can integrate that within your life and into your wedding or your event. And so, I don't know what thoughts are going through your head right now.
Well, I'm just thinking like there's like a cloud of smoke happening at somebody's wedding, you know, and everybody's getting high, but not on the emotion. They're getting high on other things.
Well, part of the beautiful part about it is that it can be very outward facing or very inward facing.
Right.
You know, some people just want to smoke a joint as they're getting ready before they walk down the aisle with their girlfriends.
Yeah, but why wouldn't that be any different than what we basically do every week when we do a wedding? I mean, on the down low, so to speak, you know, on the down low.
Okay.
So this conference is what? To kind of bring energy to legalize this?
Well, so what we want to do with it is it serves kind of two purposes. From you know, everybody in the cannabis industry is an advocate at heart. And so
right.
this is why I got into this. And so the two things that we fill outside of it being a really fun boutique event, which we all like to go to, right?
Right.
But, you know, we give businesses that are new service providers in the cannabis industry a place to market themselves. So we're talking about bud bar companies. We're talking about catering chefs. We're talking about florists who want to integrate cannabis into it. Cannabis jewelry and our country moms.
Right.
You know, but then also services like venues. Imagine being a bride,
right?
And you do want to smoke a joint with your girlfriends before, you know, getting ready. You don't want to walk outside to your car to do
right.
it. You want
right,
to do
right.
it right there. Imagine calling and say, "Hey, are you friendly with cannabis?" Awkward conversation. I've had a million of them.
Right? That is a totally that. I mean, seriously, that is a very odd conversation to have.
Exactly.
You know, especially if you're talking to a director of catering. I mean, we were listening to the director of catering here earlier, the previous director of catering.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to, and as a previous director of catering, because I used to be a director of catering for Ritz-Carlton.
Okay.
If I had a bride that called me and said, "Hey, I want to have my wedding at your place, but can we get high?" Yeah. I mean,
is it more awkward for you or the bride that's calling
really?
You?
Right, exactly. It's totally more awkward for me. It's totally more awkward for me because I think, oh my God, you know, and I don't even know if I want to book that business because
you don't know what it's
going to be. Not just legalities, but the type of client that is coming.
Totally.
And I feel like that is one of those things that when you talk about cannabis in the world, that people have the wrong idea of the kind of client associated with cannabis.
Is that type of client going to be calling the Ritz-Carlton?
Yes.
The one that you may be imaging right
now? Oh, 100%. Okay. So I'll give you an example. I had so this is 7-8 years ago.
Okay.
I actually had a bride that called me about cannabis. She owned a cannabis farm. She owned a pot farm.
Yeah.
Her and her husband, or now husband. And so they obviously wanted to get married, and they had 75 days to do it because of growing times. I don't know. Harvesting. I didn't understand that whole thing.
Yep.
But you know, but they spent a poop ton of money.
Oh, now we're okay.
It was amazing. The guests were amazing, and they were dressed up and gorgeous, and everything was done on a high end level.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about somebody calling and you get the immediate like, "Oh, I want to get high at my wedding."
Yeah.
That's not the clientele you're thinking of.
Well, see, I think I'm wrong. I think with the millennials, it's shifting. The millennials want less alcohol.
Right.
Millennials are getting married more than anyone else is right now.
Right.
They want more mindful experiences. But one thing that's so important to people these days, especially coming out of the pandemic, is people want options that fit their lifestyle.
Right.
And people aren't afraid to have the conversations with their family anymore, which was the biggest barrier into having cannabis at their wedding, was saying, "Grandma, I'm going to have a bud bar."
See?
Now asking grandma to have a bud bar, like, that's not a big deal anymore, you know?
I know, the speeches are going to be incredible. But, you know, you really think about, like, you know, the changes that have come throughout the centuries, you know, over the last decade or two, where, you know, we've really gone away from the idea of getting drunk at a bar and doing more natural substances, you know, that to give you that same buzz,
so to
speak.
And are we talking about more of a smoking aspect or more of an edible?
Well, so that's the beautiful part about it, because there's so many ways to integrate it in. I mean, some people just integrate it in the decor and actually don't even consume it, you know?
Decor, and like really? Okay, wait. I'm sorry. Integrate cannabis into the decor.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, here.
Oh, my God. I
examples, like please. Examples. Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
so,
you know.
Go to our Instagram page, cannabis_wedding_expo, and you'll see these beautiful bouquets that cannabis is integrated into it. Okay, you'll see beautiful jewelry of gold encrusted nugs that people will put on. You'll see, you know, very just beautiful accoutrements that are set up throughout. Even like, you know, we know there's a high-end Bond company company called My Bud Vase. And they actually set them as centerpieces in the thing, and they're beautiful.
And do people get to take them home?
Well, it's up to the bride, right? Do they want to get $150 gifts to, you know, that one lucky person at the table? I mean, you know, we're all different.
Or do they want to take it home and smoke it?
Yeah, exactly.
Toss that bouquet. Toss that bouquet.
Well, and then you get to take it off and smoke it afterwards, you know,
right,
for dual purposes. So, well, I'm fascinated by this, but actually I have to go speak at my talk right now.
Yeah.
And everything like that. But maybe I can come and we can go and, you know.
We would love to have you on a future show of Behind the Veil. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. It was so great to have you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good luck on your speaking.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for, you know, covering NACE right now live. This is awesome. Really fun.
Oh, thank you so much. And well, and enjoy your speak. I'm sure everybody's going to get a lot out of it. Yeah.
I think so. I'll see you guys.
Come on. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
So, okay. You got to love Vegas. I mean, the fact that the very first surprise guest that we had on is talking about cannabis and weddings. I mean,
and it's legal here. I mean, you walk outside, you can smell it.
Oh my God. Walking down.
We were going to take it to the dispensary.
Oh, that's right. You're right. You were going to go to the dispensary. But no, we were just literally going down Fremont Street the other day. It was like wafting through.
Oh, yes.
It was crazy.
We've been going crazy.
Yeah. No. Did you have somebody that you wanted to bring on? No? Not yet. All right. Anyway, so what was who are you snapping at?
No.
Okay.
Touching.
I was pushing for something.
I know. We're looking live. You know, this is what we do live. You know what I mean? Okay. So one of the other things that I've really noticed about during the conference is the moment that a suggestion of hope and of rebuilding that our whole community has been talking about.
Yes.
You know, the fact that we just listened to somebody at the Design Expo talk about the fact that wedding pros are really the frontline soldiers of the event industry, and that we figured out how to survive. And the fact that we learned how to survive during COVID should bring everybody some hope. About
peace. I mean,
when,
you know, nobody wants to cancel an event.
Nobody.
So, you know, it's just a matter of finding the right people who are experts in their field to put, you know, help you put your events on with care and safety.
Right.
And we want your guests to feel comfortable, and we want you to feel comfortable. And I think that's ultimately what the message is that you want to find the right people who are professionals in the industry. And that's why we're here, because we're amongst all the professionals.
Well, and we really have heard from some amazing people. Like, we've heard Rock Paper Coin was here, which we've had on the show. We've had, you know, we had Sandy Hammer is not here, Sandy, but all seated. She was amazing. Who else did we hear from? Oh my goodness. Mountainside Media. Yeah. They've been here talking as well. And so, and she's like, look, no, come here. Come on in. That's the whole point.
Come on in.
Yay.
We have a new guest.
Oh, Elka. Hey, hello. Take a seat. Oh my God, it's fun.
Yes.
I mean, it's like so like crazy to be able to do something like, right? To be doing something fresh. So introduce yourself to everybody.
So hi guys.
Camera's up there.
I'm Brittany Dry. I run Love Inc. magazine, which I was on the show.
You were on the show like two months ago.
Excited to be here.
So
I spoke yesterday. So
yeah.
It's just a free day for me, and I get to pop in and out.
So what was it like to speak at the conference? I mean, because it's got to be a different vibe than as an attendee, right? Mm-hmm. Coming to listen to it, because I have no pressure. As an attendee, I come and sit and I get to judge, right, about what is being said on stage. I mean, you're in front of everybody.
Yeah.
So what's that pressure like?
But it's definitely, I've been doing it for several years now,
but yeah,
it's still like, before I go on stage, I still get really nervous. But I think that's good. But I'm actually nominated for Speaker of the Year.
I'm
in a group of Christy Osborne and Mountain Media. Meryl Stowe. just honored to be listed, in that listed amongst those amazing.
But how cool
there was
is that?
Definitely like more pressure because it's like, okay, well, with that nomination, wow, I really got to like bring my A game. I mean, not that I wouldn't anyways, but there's definitely like more pressure.
Don't say
involved.
Don't okay. say Lucia, girlfriend.
So I grabbed these specifically because of you. Because I saw these like they them on there, he him. I was like, and then my pronouns are, and you fill it in.
Yeah, they ran out of she her, I think, so I had to write my.
I know, but
I appreciate this.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, how far have we come as an event industry?
Just so people know.
Oh yeah, these go
on the bottom of your
badge. Yeah, right here. But I feel like we've come such a long way as a conference, just in conference in general, because it's not just going to be here that you see these kind of, what are my pronouns? It's going to be for tech companies. It's going to be for,
They've already put them in applications to fill a job and stuff.
Right.
People are putting them on their profile when they're sending email responses or sending an email to a client.
Right.
They know how to address them.
But you know, that had a lot to do with your early work in this.
Yes.
And you know, and as a straight ally, right? And I remember from our conversation, straight ally, I mean, the fact that you were in this business spearheading this kind of work and to see this kind of result, I know it feels minor. I mean, it could feel minor. It's not minor to be able to see the fact that they went and had the effort in putting pronouns out to make sure everybody feels comfortable. Wow.
Yeah, there's definitely like others in the space who have been
right,
and people who came before me for sure. But it's work that I love, and I'm happy to see the fruits of my labor and others' labor kind of.
It's crazy.
Coming to fruition. Yeah.
I mean, okay, as a gay man and as, you know, an older gay man, shut up. Anyway, shut up. Anyway. But you know, as an older gay man, you know, when I was 15, 16, 17 years old, first of all, I would have never even thought that the idea of being able to get married was in my future, right? Never. Never thought that this was
on a glass bowl.
Right. Thank you. But never thought in a million years that I would legally get married. Right. So then to go to move forward, let's say, and be able to get married, but then to be able to say to all of my friends that, you know, don't identify with one particular sex, you know, or were born in the wrong body, that they would be able to have a voice and be okay with it, and that it would feel natural and just kind of part of the day. I mean, that's the thing that really struck me, is that nobody looked at this and went, oh, look at them. They're really cutting edge. Nobody said that.
A normal part of registration.
What? It's crazy to me.
That's how you can see where the leaps of bound have been made, because she just said it too, like normal.
Absolutely.
Right. Like, it's normal.
She said leaps, yes. Definitely leaps and bounds, for sure. We wouldn't have saw that 5 years ago.
No, there's no way. And how much do you attribute that to, like, millennials in general? Like, you know, the millennial journey, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, with each generation, you know, we're seeing more support and more people affirming different identities and orientations.
Right.
Gen Z, even more than millennials. So it's really going to grow from here. I think like 22% of Gen Z identify somewhere on the LGBTQ spectrum.
22%. Mm-hmm. And it used to be 1 in 10.
Yeah.
And we used to love the 1 in 10 because we used to count. We used to be at a party and go 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah. All right, 5. All right. I got you.
They feel you're going to have more people coming out
right.
and, you know, affirming themselves and having that affirmation back. So it's
because
it's only going to grow from here. And
well, because the spectrum is large. I mean, it really is.
There's a lot.
As even if you self-identify as a totally heterosexual human being, there's going to be a moment or two in your life, usually, that there's going to be somebody that is very close to you, that was a mentor, that you felt an extra level of love for. And we've been told in the past that, no, you should pull back on that. And no, that's not all right. But it is. It's okay. You know?
Absolutely.
And I find that crazy. And of course, sorry, my phone keeps ringing, guys. Sorry. Anyway, but you know, and so what's next for Loving? What's on the horizon?
Well, we just launched a new site design.
What it is? Which is?
LovingMac.com. But just total makeover of the website.
Yeah.
And just totally reconstructed it and how people can consume the content on there. Before it was very like traditional blog. It was by latest post, but that's not how readers are consuming the content anymore. They want to go and like, I want to see, I'm getting married in Florida in the fall. Like, I want to see Florida fall content. And that's kind of how we've structured it. So excited for that. That just launched last week.
And that was Loving.com.
LovingMag.
LovingMag.com.
And then our next issue is going to be hopefully going in late August, early September.
Yeah.
So super excited about that. We just did the big fashion editorial for that last month, and it was.
Oh my God! Guys. How exciting is this? I mean,
we always try to push boundaries.
Yeah.
And strike up conversations with our fashion editorials.
Right.
And this one.
This one you got.
Do you want me to share?
Yes. Oh my God. Share. What are you talking about? So, exclusive. I'm just saying.
Yes, this is.
Exclusive.
So on our last issue's cover shoot, we were working with a cisgender male model and we had him in a wedding outfit.
Right.
Now, as someone who has been in inclusivity space, I've always said, try to avoid using the term bridal. You know, there's not always a bride.
Right. And, you know, bridal feels very generic when it comes to that, because a lot of people just defer to bridal to describe wedding. And we need to get away from that.
But so that was what I've always educated. That's what most people in this inclusivity education space say.
Right.
But we put this cisgender male model in a wedding outfit and he goes, wow, like I want to look like this on my wedding day. I feel so bridal.
And that that's amazing.
Like, why can't a cisgender male feel bridal? Why does bridal have to be gendered?
Right.
It's a feeling. Mm-hmm.
Oh, smash.
And so
it was like a
smash. Yeah. And so for this fashion editorial, we took that idea and we are redefining the term bridal.
Oh, so big fan of this.
How smart is that?
We created a dress shopping experience
with
one female and one male.
Right.
And they are having their bridal moments.
See?
So it's special.
So randomly yesterday. I'm walking from the conference to my hotel room and I see a cis trans model. Is that correct? Is that the correct terminology? Cis model?
They're cis or they're trans.
Cis model.
Cis, okay.
Cis model. That was all done up in a gorgeous, like, almost like your Calvin Klein outfit the other night. That was like, holy shit. But in the hallway, short, you know, obviously close cropped hair, little bit of light lipstick. Gorgeous. He looked gorgeous and looked like he was, you could tell she, he, him, her, because I don't know her pronouns, looked amazing. Like they felt amazing in that.
They were rocking it.
Yes. You know, because that energy, that intensity just came out of them. Yeah. And the
when
fact that it was,
good, you feel good.
I was going to say, when you're looking good and you
here
feel
we are
that.
At the Bellagio, and you know, this is kind of a mainstream hotel. And the fact that they were having this kind of photo shoot right here was amazing to me. And I just thought, holy crap. Oh, I lost my co-host. She's like, I need some water. Oh my God.
It's a very dry area.
Well, and I can't even tell you. Every time I walk out my room, I sweat.
Yeah.
I'm like literally sweating here. Thank God for, you know, the camera being far away. But anyway, so congratulations on everything. We are super excited about you.
Thank you so much.
You know what I mean? And then I'm assuming we're going to see you at tonight's gala you know?
Yes. I can't wait to see y'all's outfits.
Oh, no, honey. I got you. I'm just saying. She's got you. I'm just saying. So thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you, guys.
you.
Awesome.
Have a great rest.
Mwah. We'll see you tonight. Awesome. Oh my goodness. I mean, think about the fact that how far the community has come just in general when it comes to events and weddings.
That's amazing.
And the fact that we're doing more weddings than ever, where we have to be, as event pros, open, not just open, but fair to our clients. To say, you know, I am here to empower you, whatever your pronouns are.
To be whatever, whoever, whatever you want to be.
I mean, yeah.
It's just, you know, it's you, you know, be you.
Because our job is to make them be powerful.
Exactly.
You know, to make them feel, and I keep saying them because I don't want to ostracize anybody, you know, use or he's or hers. But them, I want them to feel like it is their best day ever, and all eyes are on them, and that they look amazing and they have the best day of their life.
It's all about the joy that you want to bring them. I mean, that's essentially it.
So, but you know, this is always interesting to me, because when we talk about these new trends, and they're not trends, they're forever. But when we talk about the fact that we're trying to be more exclusive in this world, you know, invitations feels very formal, old school, right? How has that world changed?
It totally has changed. I mean, some people prefer that they like to be called by their names. Some people don't want to use parents' names. I sit down, I talk to my clients, and I'll ask them, like, how do you want to be addressed?
Right.
Do you want to have your family included in the invitation?
Right.
Do you want to have your parents included? Every couple I meet is different from one another. And it's all about listening to what their needs are.
Right.
You know, because it's their day.
But, you know, if you're talking about receiving an invitation, let's say younger couple, mm-hmm. right, in the know who they are, know what, you know, where they are, like in their life terms, maybe their family isn't so much in the know. And they get this invitation that says what? Him, her? I don't know. You know, I mean, how do you work that invitation politics that happens between the family?
I would recommend using like the word we, that everybody's comfortable.
Right.
If you're going to address it from your, you know, from the couple.
Right.
And maybe using their names. I mean, like you can use first names only. You can use first and last names. If you're only using a first name, put the last name somewhere, maybe on the back of the back flap, you know, somewhere so that people know who
just call me Brooke.
Who it's coming from.
Just call me Brooke.
And I feel like that's a safe, it's safe. You know, you're not, you know, when you're unsure and you don't know, like, but here, guess what? My name is Brooke. Just call me Brooke.
You know, you know what? You actually brought that up the other day, actually, because somebody was kind of falling all over themselves about, you know, what they're supposed to be saying.
What their person, like, if you're coming over to Marcy for invitation, depends on like where that person is in that journey of theirs or in their life with their parents and like the comfortability of it all. So again, like when she said their first name, like that's when that clicked.
And some people haven't had the conversation, you know, like some people, not that they haven't had the conversation, but they know maybe their family may or may not be comfortable with something. So you want to kind of make sure that you're putting yourself out there the way that you want to be presented, not the way somebody else wants you to be presented.
Perfect. Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. So right now we're like in the middle. So if you notice that the noise has kind of gone down in the background a little bit because everybody's gone back out to
the next session,
the next sessions and what have you. But who is the?
We have Michael Dworek.
Michael.
Michael Dworek.
Hey, Michael.
Come on over.
Come on over, Michael. So,
Michael Dworek is with he is with the Vertera Group.
And Vertera, we love Vertera. Hey, Michael, nice to meet you. All right, take a seat. So, Vertera obviously is a huge supporter of NACE and is on the leading edge of recyclable everything. Basically, when it comes to plateware, straws, I saw boxes over there. I saw platters.
Yeah. Serviceware, charcuterie.
Yeah. You know, so tell us a little bit about tell us a little bit about you, about the company, about what you guys do.
Sure. So 15 years ago, I started Veritera making compostable disposables for the food service industry.
Right.
And the goal from day one was to be able to provide attractive solutions to replace paper and plastic. And, you know, one of the things that we always saw was labor rates were continually going up.
Yeah.
Sensitivity towards environmental issues were increasing.
Right.
And just the challenges of running a business were there. So we found that if we could provide simple solutions, because nobody was going to sort and separate their food and their this and their that.
I'm telling you. Well, I'm just saying. Right. Okay. So this as an event person.
A compostable plate.
Yeah.
Can just go right in a compost bin with the food.
Right.
You don't have to have staff.
Separate. Or right. clean it.
Or cleaning it.
Or scrub it. Right. Because, you know, one of the things that...
labor.
Right? Exactly. Well, labor. Because, you know, when you're talking about service industry, God love them because they are the backbone of our world.
Yes.
But, you know, they're making $12, $15, $8. God bless them. You know, are they really going to have the time to stop and scrape, you know, and to separate it to make sure that it goes into the bin that it's supposed to. And I feel like your whole line of items solves that issue because it's biodegradable.
Right. And it takes the worst part of the job at the end of the night, right? Somebody's worked a full shift at a restaurant, at a wedding, whatever it might be.
It's right.
Midnight, 1 a.m, and now they get to deal with everything. And
the fact it looks cute.
Yeah.
It's cute. I mean, because honestly, as us, that's what I'm saying. As us, as event people, I mean, we've always had the people that tried to do, you know, the green mm-hmm. kind of, and you're like, the straw tastes like paper, or you know, the plate looks awful, or it doesn't feel on trend. You know, and your material, like yesterday, we did the lunch, and everybody was served in those. Amazing boxes that you could then put your trays in. I just thought, brilliant. I mean, it just looked great.
And think about the fact that you're using these, you're able to use these outside by a pool. I mean, because you can't have glass out there. You can't have plateware out there.
Yeah.
So this is like the perfect solution for something like that too.
Yeah. And again, you know, look, right now, everything is about the employees.
Right.
And if you think if somebody has to go to the end of a beach or to the end of a pool from the kitchen and bring things back and forth. It's 20 minutes of not generating revenue for a property. Whereas with this, it goes out and then it just goes in one of the bins and it just saves you so much time. We realize the same thing for room service. You think about a property like
that. Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, you think about the fact how much, I mean, just as I was leaving my room this morning, but not my room. Maybe. Anyway, there was like, you know, a 16 bottle Budweiser cans out there. And there was like a stack of all this incredible, like obviously greasy food that they had ordered from late night last night. Not my room. I'm just saying, not my room, guys. Anyway, I know. Like, exactly. But, you know, and I just looked at all that waste and I just looked like there was so much paper and plastic and just waste on there, not just the food itself, and the fact that, you know, what they say 60% of the world is going hungry at the moment, and the fact that there was all this waste in food, but then all this waste in just paper and plastic products.
Right.
And I just think, multiply that by 1,000 rooms, you know, here at the Bellagio, and then multiply that by, you know, 50, 60, 70,000 rooms, and then add that to the event world. I mean, it's crazy.
I actually like how I'm here at the Bellagio in the bathroom. They have the thing that says, if you're going to reuse your towels, fold, hang them up or whatever. Because we've saved 230,000, like,
what was turtles?
It? No, not turtles. The amount of electricity that they saved on doing the, if you reuse your towel instead of just throwing it down, it was 230,000 homes.
That's like, amazing. I just find it amazing. And 15 years ago,
it was pretty cool.
You started this 15 years ago. I know, right now you're like, I put my towel on the floor today. I feel bad. I feel bad now because I put my towel on the floor. Anyway, that was my first time using it. Exactly. 15 years ago, you decide this is the company that I want to do, right? And you... How hard was it to convince people that this was the new way?
So
I mean,
the first presentation I did to a room full of people.
Yeah.
And I said, we're going to take fallen palm leaves. So we're not cutting anything down.
Okay.
Right. We're going to create jobs for women in India.
Right.
And we're going to make plates to replace the paper and plastic industry.
Right.
You know, in the cartoons where you just watch the tumble
and everybody gets quiet. Everybody gets really, really quiet.
People didn't know if I was joking or if I was out of my mind, but nobody took it seriously. And
well, because when I hear that, I was thinking like yesterday when, again, I'm going to bring up Fremont Street when we're going down Fremont Street, and there were people making bowls out of right palm leaves. And obviously, it's
weaving it.
And so that's what my brain would have gone to. If I heard you say, oh, we're going to make dishes out of palm leaves, I would think, employ a bunch of people in India. That's immediately what I would have thought. I would have thought, oh, you're going to get a bunch of those plates weaved. Does I really want that at my next event? You know, kind of thing.
Because the big difference, I think, is when most people look at a natural material,
right,
they immediately go to this like, oh, what was it, right? And they
right.
maybe make a slightly more modern version of a traditional craft. And what our goal was, when we first started, so we knew that nobody cared. Right, we knew that.
Like, that was, okay, I love the fact you're like, okay, let's weird. Start from this.
Right, right. Yeah,
I mean, nobody gives a shit
right,
about us.
Right. No.
Okay.
No, but like,
okay.
We at Verterra cared about
right.
the environmental issues, but in general, nobody cared.
Right.
Now, the day that there was the Vanity Fair of Leonardo DiCaprio with the polar bear on the iceberg, whatever it was, all of a sudden, I give him and that magazine more credit.
Really?
I do.
So pop culture made a massive influence and a shift in the perspective of just the world in general.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm sure a million people will disagree with me and
yada yada.
Well, about this. I agree with you today.
That's all that matters, right?
But I watched it go from you're insane.
Right.
To
wait a minute here. Yeah.
Like that was probably the biggest jump in awareness
right.
that got created in a single moment, because a major pop culture magazine that has no real business in the sustainable movement.
Right.
In that one, it was on the cover. You couldn't That's avoid just... it. It was in a newsstand. It was everywhere.
Was that luck? Did that feel like luck?
I don't want to say I read tea leaves, but
right.
that was like this huge stamp of credibility for me.
Gosh.
Sustainable movement. And after that, people were like, oh yeah, I read the article. Like, everybody's like, oh, I read the article. There's an issue. Like that became.
And you know, and here we are 15 years later. And obviously we've had the girl that stood up to Trump. We've had we've had people talk about the environment, about save, I'm six. What do you expect me to do? I mean, that commercial that's going on right now. I mean, going green is everything at this moment. I feel like your time is now.
Yeah.
More so than ever that your time is now.
Yeah. Save the turtles.
Yes, save the turtles, right? Seriously.
I'm actually going to be speaking on this in a few weeks.
Are you really?
I am.
Where? Yes.
In Orlando, in South Florida.
Yeah.
At Peacock's Pantry.
Oh, that's right. We're doing the ladies at lunch. We're doing the trends of tea. That's right. I totally forgot trends of tea.
Trends of tea.
You know, so, but again, here you are. You fought all your, you basically fought the last 15 years to get to this point.
Yeah.
Do you feel validated, or do you feel like that the fight still continues?
It still continues. I mean, we constantly have people say, we love you, we love the product, we love this, why don't you make something in plastic? We're just like, that's not what we do. Because of COVID, nobody wanted to buy plates for 12 months. And everybody said, if you come up with a lid, and we literally could not buy the PLA material, and we made a plastic lid, and it felt like such a huge step back.
Right.
But it was the only material we get.
Really? Yeah. And it hurt your soul a little bit, I'm assuming, because here you're like, the last 15 years, we've done nothing but save the environment.
Never, did not compromise.
And then here we are with a plastic Dan lid. Do you get rid of it now?
We'll sell through the stock that we have. When, I mean, to dispose of it would be
that's what I'm crazier, saying. But yeah. Right. But do you, that's what I'm saying. Do you, now that we're on the other side of this, do you finally, you go, okay, look, we got to go back to our mission statement, you know, or whatever that may be, and get be done with this, right? And keep moving forward with how to, or maybe even rice paper. I mean, they're doing some amazing stuff with rice paper, and it's mm-hmm. not 100% clear, but you know.
But you know, when people want grab and go,
yeah,
they want grab and go. They want it to be sitting there. They want it to be beautiful. It has to be pristinely clear. And people don't think about all the different additives. Like, you know, to make plastic not fog up requires additives.
Doesn't that drive you crazy? Yes. I mean, because people say one thing and then they do another.
Always.
You know, it's like, oh, I want to save the environment, and I'm gonna order all this stuff from my particular event. But then I'm an event planner, and I run to the to-go store and go, oh, that sandwich looks really good. Okay, yeah. But one use plastic. Thank you. Oh, it's just me. It's just me. I only did it once. You know,
somebody years ago asked me, like, ooh, it's so hard to calculate how much impact this has and this has and this has. And I said, no, it's
not.
I said, go count your garbage bags at the end
right.
of the
event. Right.
That's simple arithmetic.
Yeah.
Right.
If today you have 50 arithmetic. And tomorrow you have 30, you just reduced your waste.
100%.
It's not that hard.
Right? Okay. Since you're in the know, and I mean, I'm gonna take you kind of outside of your world here, because you touched on something that always bothers me a little bit. When I hear that Amazon is carbon neutral, right, or Google is carbon neutral, is it because they're paying to be carbon neutral? Because I can't imagine that these huge companies are doing, because I know there's a loophole here somewhere, and I don't know if maybe you know about the loophole, but I've heard that there's a loophole when it comes to these companies that they pay to offset the carbon that they use or the carbon that they produce. Is that a thing?
Yes.
Yeah, so and I don't mean to put you on the spot because it's out there. Yeah, it's out there in the media world. So
I don't know about those companies specifically.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, yes, you can buy carbon credits.
You can buy carbon credits
to offset your impact.
Isn't that crazy to think about the fact that you could, in order to be, you don't even have to do the right thing because you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. That's what's killing me. But the other people don't have to put in the same effort. They just have to buy carbon credit to, I'm like, how does that?
Well, think of it like this. It costs them more, right? So the more right steps that you take,
right,
the fewer carbon credits you would need to buy.
Right.
So, right. So if they were to, and I believe that they have made like a lot of the warehouses, solar powered, things like that. Right?
Well,
so,
and Vegas here, they have that big, if you stay up late enough, I'm just saying, if you stay up late enough, they have this like little infomercial that happens at like 3 a.m. Not that I've seen it. Saying anyway, yes, I am. Anyway, but they were talking about they have the solar panel fields and that it produces enough electricity to take care of the daytime needs of Vegas, which I find fascinating.
Oh, wow,
yeah, daytime needs. They're not talking about nighttime, they're not talking about all the neon and the lights and stuff. They're saying daytime needs.
You still gotta have electricity to smack those machines.
I know, but
they gotta be plugged in. They're not unplugging those,
but I find it fascinating that here they in Vegas they have right. But yet, do I feel like they're giving the same kind of effort when it comes into one-use plastics and their straws and their plates and their, you know?
You know,
it's a process. I know.
It's a process. And look, in a lot of ways, COVID had a huge impact, right? All of a sudden, even the people that a lot of people that I knew that were very much like, I'm only using my reusable water bottle.
Right.
And COVID hit, and all of a sudden it was just like, that went out
the window. All of that went out the window.
Right now, it was a bottle of water because I don't want to take the chance that this. Like, everybody reset their.
They needed to make money.
And every one of the. Look, I mean, we were selling PPE. This is plastic.
Is that really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's PP. Wait, I'm gonna touch your mask, but yeah,
I mean,
that's plastic.
The KN95s, the N95s, the 3+, all of those are plastic.
So you know, we're gonna go a step further because now there's the whole world of microplastics, right? That's a big issue right now. And we're from Florida, and Florida is all about, you know, our seas and making sure save the turtles. Right. But they were doing it. They did a thing on microplastics and the fact that, like, even this, hi Megan, even this breaks down into little microplastics that can be literally filtered, and that we're eating this. Yes. We're eating this, and it's getting caught in our body.
Gross. I'm going to be a Medea today.
Media.
Anyways,
I know. But you know what I mean? And again, we're going to go back to your company. I feel like your company is paving the way of getting rid of that, and that as an event industry in the wedding world, we got to pay more attention to that. We're the decision makers. You know, you're a decision maker.
Too, like, if it's not something brought to you from the grant, bring it up to them. That's something.
Oh, you know what?
And yourself to and help save the turtles, if you will.
How do you do that, by the way? So, do you have marketing material that you can give event planners? Like, if somebody out here watching us today says, "You know what? I love this idea. How do I sell this to my hotel?" How do you do that?
What? Branding part.
Yeah.
I mean, you have branded tableware.
Yeah, but do you have a website that talks about, you know, the statistics?
Not really.
And the really?
Yeah. And 2 weeks later, still don't watch.
Yeah, like in 2 weeks, he's like, okay, problem solved. Hey, we'll have that.
Okay, Keith, by the way. one of the kind of big challenges in the wonderful world of disposables is there's no data.
Really?
So try to find how many anythings are made in a year.
It's all guesstimation.
Yeah. Please.
All of it. All these statistics, all these shows that we hear, all these people, these reporters.
I'm not saying people aren't doing their job. It's just there's an here's the total number of XYZ made or this or this or this.
Right.
It's just there. You know, and it's never disclosed. And even the companies that are public in this space, they disclose sure their revenue, but
right.
They don't say we made, you know, 3 billion plates. So
that's
and they don't want to, and they probably don't want to tell people. No. They don't want to tell people. Look, we made 3 billion plates, and we made $18 million profit.
Nobody really asked. If you were to stand in front of a Starbucks,
right,
and ask somebody how many disposable plates or how many disposable pieces do you use,
they would have no idea.
With the cup in their hand, they'd be like, zero idea. Disposables.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks about it. It's so ingrained. Literally, you catch someone walking out of the store with this in their hand. How many disposables do you use? And they, I don't use disposables. How many times do you go to Starbucks? Three. Okay.
Well, that's three disposables.
It's a cup.
Okay. Let's look at this. The sleeve is disposable. I mean, that's biodegradable. Yeah, it's paper.
It's coated paper. Yeah.
But the cups are not.
But the cups.
They have a plastic coating.
Yep, it's a plastic coating.
I take that back to the McDonald's law, the lawsuit where that grandmother, you know, burnt herself with hot coffee.
Yes.
And since then, we've had those plastic sleeves and we've had the coffee cups with the a lot of people don't even know that there's wax on the inside of these cups in order to, which is crazy to me.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy. Anyway.
Glug, check it out.
Oh my God. This has go ahead. What's next? Yeah.
I mean, I know you have branded plateware. Is there anything next that you foresee down the road? Terra.
We spent the first 9 years really just with the palm plates.
Right.
Then brought cutlery on. I mean, you know,
the cutlery is awesome, by the way. I have to tell you, I love the cutlery. I want to bring it to party just because it's cool. You know what I mean? It is. It's cool. And I think there's even a NACE thing where it has usable cutlery that you wash.
Yes.
Anyway, but go ahead.
So, you know, then we launched the collapsible boxes because it's for us, it's not just the product itself, but it's the overall impact. So like we have a collapsible box.
Right.
Because we want to minimize the shipping impact of the box.
Oh, smart. Right? So when we're looking at
these things, it's always how do we lessen our cube? How do we just every element
Yeah, the footprint, the overall impact of the product.
Because it takes gas and petroleum and all that to ship it.
Yep.
And so you got to figure out a way to get around that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it just surprises me how many times we order things like from Amazon and you get this huge box for this.
Oh, my God, I got a little tiny box. Like,
17 oh. of plastic this big for something that small.
And you're not going to reuse the plastic. We all know that. You know, we're all slicing through it with our razor blades. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that's been crazy. But look, I mean, as far as sort of what's next, you know, at this point, we've sort of rounded out the line with everything we can make, with the exception of cups.
Right.
And really, it's just, and I mean, the cheese and charcuterie boards have been amazing.
Those are amazing.
Grazing,
I have to tell you, those are
I would love those.
Spectacular. Yeah. I think that felt like a very natural next step.
Yeah.
Oh, but my goodness.
Nobody makes disposables for the cheese industry.
Right.
Which is awesome because that's you.
Yeah. So we just, you know, for us, it's really like being involved in an organization like NACE where we're getting to see caterers and people on the banquet side and just everyone in the event space.
Right.
For us, it's a great learning experience because everybody's saying, here are the trends, here's mm-hmm. this, here's that. And they're thinking of it in terms of this macro.
Right.
And then we're like, what can we make to sort of backfill and support them as, you know, they're going, right? As people were saying, oh, we're doing more cheese and charcuterie boards.
Right.
And I'm looking at the world and going, there's no disposable for this. And people, the expense of maintaining and whatever their real boards is very high. So for us, it's just constantly like learning from the industry and creating new products for it and then just moving forward step by step.
So you're constantly filling that void of something that isn't there.
Correct. Yeah. It's literally what's the gap? What's the gap? Make that product.
Smart.
What's the gap? Make that product.
Smart.
Because that's what you need, right?
Right.
If I just sat in a room and said, what crazy idea can I come up with? The useless for you.
I was about to say, I'm like, we sat in a room and said, you know, it's kind of the craziest idea I could come up with. I don't think it'd be recyclables. Oh my God. It was great to meet you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And we will be catching up with you later in the today.
Yes.
Oh my God. Later today for the gala.
Yes, the gala.
So we'll see you at the gala.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Guys, amazing. Oh my God.
Wow.
We're getting to meet some like really cool people today. Do we have another surprise guest at the moment?
Not at the moment.
No?
Is Terry speaking?
Probably. Who?
Terry.
Did you have him written down?
No.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Anyway, welcome to the live show, everybody. So I have to tell you that this conference has really been above and beyond when it comes to the amount of guests that we have been talking to, the amount of exposure. You know, obviously it's been a more intimate experience than what we've typically had at a NACE conference, but I don't feel like I had a smaller experience.
Not at all. I mean, I will say, like, a lot of people are probably wondering why we haven't even addressed it, but why we're not wearing masks right now.
Well, it's just up three. Yeah, we've been wearing three. We're in our own little pod.
The people that we're interviewing too, we've already vetted them and so forth. So we are trying to stay as COVID compliant as we possibly can.
Right.
You know, when we are out in the hallways, we are wearing our masks. When we're in our meetings and so forth.
Well, that's actually around me, like
because in Las Vegas right now, it is a mask mandate. But I will say that I am surprised in going through the different hotels and different areas that some people are not.
Well, you know, and I feel like I see a lot of younger people not doing the masks.
Yes.
And right? I don't ever see older people not wearing the masks. Older people are like, oh, screw this. Yeah. I got a whole bunch of dirty people around me. You know, this is Vegas. I'm putting on a mask.
Right. I mean, I just heard this really sad story, and I'm going to kind of be brief.
Okay.
But this couple, they had four kids.
Yeah.
They did not get COVID, the vaccine, because
they
wanted to wait for a year.
Yeah.
And see how it went with the people who received them.
Right.
And they had the kids and so forth. Well, come to find out, the husband got COVID.
Right.
He wound up on a ventilator, not making it through.
Wow.
The fiance or the wife.
Right.
She said that they were, you know, she explained that they were waiting for the year. And the last thing that the husband had said to her was, go get the vaccine.
And
I was like, I mean, that just broke my heart that, you know, like, you know, people are not thinking like, how is it protecting themselves? And, you know, it's not, you have to protect yourself and you have to protect other people. And I don't think people are kind of getting that, you know, like, either get on board or stay inside.
And the wishy-washy with the news, different news stations reporting different things, like, is not helping the situation.
No, but you know, if you don't know, then don't put yourself and don't put other people in harm's way.
Right, yeah, I don't. If you're not 100, then why just wear it to until you think you know which way is something or not something. Don't put the mask on. You know,
just put the damn mask on.
Because we're also, you know, we're protecting them.
Right.
Right. But they're not protecting themselves.
Right.
And that's the sad part, is they're not protecting themselves.
And people think too, like, you know, there could be, you never know who someone who may have underlying conditions. Like, well, I'm protecting myself first and foremost.
Right. Too.
It looks, and also, it's just, right. to me, it is a choice. It's just, it is.
But it's like, a choice, but. Use your mask if you're not going to.
I don't understand this. If somebody said to me, you have the opportunity to avoid chickenpox. Let's say chickenpox. Mm-hmm. Nobody says no to a chickenpox vaccine.
Right.
And nobody.
You're not necessarily avoiding it.
Yeah.
You're just getting your symptoms lessened.
I understand that. And full disclosure, I was vaccinated. I had a breakthrough case of COVID. Not pretty. Oh my God. Not pretty. So I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, you can still get COVID. It's just, you know, my doctor said you didn't go on, you were lucky because we didn't have to admit you into the hospital.
Right. And you didn't have to go on a ventilator.
And I didn't have to go on a ventilator. Exactly. You know, but if I hadn't gotten on to the vaccine, oh, I would have been screwed. Seriously, I would have been screwed. Oh my goodness. Well, guys, that is our hour. Oh my God.
Wow. That was a hour.
I know. It feels like that was so.
I phoned it and shut off after 45 minutes, like always.
Well, we just had a little bit of a weakness when it came to the break as far as the internet. So, you know, that's really good. Hey, Kathy, are you over there? Come here. She's like, oh, shit. Kathy, well, of course, Kathy, we have to have you come on. Oh my God,
we're in our final minutes,
so we're gonna make you. This is Kathy Horner with Nace, and she is obviously a favorite of ours. You know, we love you, Kathy.
You guys. I got to meet Brooke.
Oh my God, look at her. She's like,
I was telling Corey the story about my boyfriend the other yesterday, and I was like, the best thing happened. We were going to the club, and she's like, I just came here to see Brooker. And I was like, I'm like, nobody's business. And that made me feel
totally shoved aside.
I love all of you.
And you've only got to see her on the show. Right. So it was really cool to be able to see everything. What's been your favorite thing about the NACE conference so far?
Seeing everybody
in person
and hugging everybody
and hugging.
Yeah.
I love that. And by the way,
I'm trying not to hug.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know,
oh, where's your thing?
Seeing everybody.
So by the way, I love the fact that you guys have like these little dots and you have green, yellow, red, depending on how comfortable you are with the whole COVID thing. So green.
Like, oh, my bag is green. It matches my bag. So now I know that mine is green.
But you know, but green, bring it in. You know, okay. Yellow is a little cautious. Red, it's like, stay the fuck away.
Stay away.
Yeah. Right. Me too.
I finally got to hug Marcy for the first time here.
Yes.
Over a year and a half.
I mean, I'd love that.
And like, I didn't even ask for if I could hug.
Ah, you just like bring it in. I mean, you're like, just bring it in.
She pretty much got tackled the way to the side, so it was coming. We were.
I did. I totally was like pushed. I mean, it was horrible. It was awful. I was like, oh, who are you? Boom. I was Brooke.
I felt validated at that very moment. Thank you so much.
But it has been an awesome conference. I have to say, it's been amazing to be able to get to be a part of all of this.
And the best is yet to come.
The gala?
The awards gala.
Oh, no. You know, the awards gala is always
amazing.
I know.
It'll be amazing.
I know. But the awards gala, I'm always like, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, it's one of those things that we, you actually say it is lovely to be nominated. And it really is.
It really is.
I mean,
the caliber of people that are up for these awards is just outstanding.
And the fact that you're having to do 2 years of awards basically in one night.
That's amazing.
All right, just remember.
She's like,
take a deep breath, it's gonna be a little longer.
Yeah, but we get it.
You know, the decor.
Yeah,
amazing, of course. The graphics.
Yeah,
I have to say, shout out to Amanda.
Yay! Whoop whoop, Amanda.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Look at me like we're. Look,
the food will be great.
Yeah.
I'll be backstage, so I will not be partaking in the food this year. But that's okay.
Oh, you want a plate? You want us to save you?
I hear the looks are going to be quite stellar. Let's see.
All right, but I'm,
in charge of the envelopes.
Oh,
you got the big responsibility.
Oh no! Oh my God, that's the worst. Because then you could have that Oscar moment. You know, where they give the wrong envelope. What was that? Oscars where they gave the wrong.
I have it so organized.
Oh, no.
Oh, of course you do.
Steve Harvey literally crowning
them. Yeah.
Numbered. It's in order. It's da 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 da.
Oh, I couldn't imagine anything different. I couldn't imagine anything different.
No Steve Harvey moment for her.
No, exactly. Oh, my God. I totally know that.
It's on them because the winner's in the right envelope.
Yeah.
Amanda and I did it.
Oh, so cool.
So you know something.
No. Anyway, she doesn't. No, she doesn't know anything. Anyway,
it's
so
64 words. I don't have that good memory.
Thank you. 100%. Anyway, I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, as an attendee that's coming and as a president that has had to run, you know, have a NACE chapter that went through this as a previous past president that's been having to do the NACE.
Future helpful.
Right. Something. Future helpful. NACE. You know, it has been inspiring to see not just all that you have done for our NACE community, because it really comes down to the people. You know, it's
all about relationships.
It really is all about relationships.
The team that you have is just outstanding.
Well, and I just adore the hell out of you. So, you know that, you know, I just,
right, exactly.
I just adore the hell out of you. And I just think you're amazing. And I think that what you guys have pulled off this year has been fucking fantastic. Excuse my words.
But, can I quote you?
Yeah. Right. Yes. I mean, it really is. It really is. I mean, the fact and to do it in the midst of where the Delta variant was starting to come back up and there was all those nerves, I felt like all those disappeared as soon as I got on site. Like it all went away. I was like, because you were like, okay, no mask.
You see professional people being professional doing professional things.
Exactly. You see professional people doing professional things. Beautiful. Beautifully said. Anyway, so we just wanted to say thank you and thank you to the NACE organization because awesome.
I do love this. This podcast is amazing. It's so innovative. It's just so needed. And thank you.
Oh, well. Well, I think
every time I don't get to watch it every week.
Right.
Whenever I watch it, number one, I learn something.
Yeah.
And number two, it's just fun to watch.
It's just fun to watch. Well, we don't take ourselves too seriously.
No.
Well, okay, you do. Anyway. She's like, what? Oh, my goodness. All right. So because Good Shuffle is here, we'll go ahead and run in their commercial, and then we will be back.
I chose Good Shuffle Pro specifically because of the ease of all of its functionality. It was just absolutely efficient, and I was just so happy. It was like a breath of fresh air and a huge weight that was lifted off of me.
Meet Good Shuffle Pro, software built specifically for event companies of all types and sizes. Whether you're rental, design, big or small, we're Good Shuffle Pro. It's nice to meet you.
All right, everybody. So thank you so much for being part of Behind the Veil at our live show in Las Vegas. What did you guys think? Did you guys have a good time?
I'm still having a good time.
I mean, I thought this was amazing, and I thought it was a great opportunity for us to bring a little Vegas to wherever you are, because you're not here with us,
right?
But at least you're here, and you know, and watching, and you're getting to see some of the people who are here and learning about the new ideas and trends that are coming out. And
to be able to be together, honestly, I'm loving this. Because we're always usually stationed in our own places, in our own homes.
In our own homes, and we don't really...
And then to be able to have the guests come up and...
And be able to actually talk to each other and be like, oh, okay.
Shake hands and be like, hi, you know. You're not through a screen, so...
I know, and of course I was bitching about the fact that we didn't have a mask and our proper lighting, but you know... But I feel like that was...
I don't mind being poorly lit.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in for Behind the Veil. Next Tuesday, we will be back in Fort Lauderdale at Tuesday at 2. And next week's guest, we have the owners of Earth and Sugar, kind of the Cake Plus of South Florida.
My
favorite. I love Earth and Sugar.
Cake from Earth and Sugar.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Beautiful, and it's just—I mean, delicious.
It really is. And so they're going to talk about, you know, what has happened in the industry as far as their world, because you know it's one of those things that you just kind of take for granted that the cake is going to be there. But what has their business gone through, and what have they done to adjust to in order to survive? So we're really looking forward to having them on next week. But for now, we're going to just say goodbye and thank you all for being part of us.
Bye.
Goodbye, guys. And of course, now this is harder because I have to hit in broad.